Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. International football's governing body, FIFA, is backing off plans to expand the field of teams for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar to 48. Qatar 2022 will stay at 32 teams. However, the World Cup still is slated to expand to 48 teams in 2026 when Canada, Mexico, and the United States will host matches. The FIFA Council in March authorized the organization's president, Gianni Infantino, to attempt to find a partner or partners for Qatar capable of hosting 16 extra matches. But the small Arab nation is locked in a diplomatic crisis in which seven other states in the region, including Egypt, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates, severed ties. In a statement, FIFA said, and I quote, "Following a thorough and comprehensive consultation process with the involvement of all the relevant stakeholders, it was concluded that under the current circumstances, such a proposal could not be made now." The statement also said FIFA explored the possibility of Qatar hosting a 48-team World Cup by itself. Meanwhile, we're now only 15 days away to the kickoff of the Women's World Cup. France will host South Korea in the opening match June 7th in Paris. France and South Korea are joined in Group A by Norway and Nigeria, who will meet the following day, June 8th, in Reims, France. The Super Falcons of Nigeria have dominated African women's football over the years. The Super Falcons have been to every Women's World Cup since 1991, but only once at the 1999 tournament here in the United States have they reached the quarterfinals.
The Voice of America, VOA.
My name is Coach Edwin Okon, former Super Falcons coach and technical advisor of Rivers Angels Football Club of Port Harcourt, sending a shout-out message to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, Coach Edwin Okon, for that Sunny Side of Sports shout-out message. Iron Mike Mbonye had a chance to chat with Coach Okon, and he asked him about the preparations by the Women's World Cup-bound Super Falcons.
I think everybody knows the importance of preparation before World Cup. And thank God that what I've gathered from the players and some of the officials that are attached to the team. Because right now, the whole world knows that they are in Austria preparing for the World Cup. And I think without preparation alone, because we've not been seeing it before, but I think we need more of this. Because we need more from the girls and from the task ahead. I think the girls have been given a task that they must or they should win or they should get to semi-final stage. So I don't know how possible that would be. But since the coaches are not complaining, the officials are not complaining, I believe they are fully prepared for that.
You have been involved in the coaching of female players, and at the time you were the coach of the Super Falcons, Nigeria's female national team. The team is in the same group with host France, Democratic Korea Republic, and Norway. Do you see them surviving that group?
Well, as a coach, I have confidence in the player because I always give that same confidence, pass that same confidence to my players in the pitch in any match I want to play. I think by the special grace of God, no team is unbeatable. We can as well, if we prepare well, if we think with the right frame of mind, we can as well beat any team. France will not be a problem. They are a problem because they equally come try as much as they can to see that they eliminate Nigeria. And we on our own part will as well think of eliminating them too. And not only France, Norway is there. Norway is a good side. France is a good side. Korea, I think at this level, that's a very big chance for us to qualify that group.
Looking at the players that make up the Super Falcons presently and those that you coached, How would you compare them? How would you assess the kind of players in camp now going to represent Nigeria in the FIFA World Cup?
Well, I think there is no new blood in that team by special grace of God. The same players are using under 17, same players are using under 20, same set of players are using in Super Falcons in Canada, and the same players are using today. I think maybe the belief and the trust is so much at that level. That is why there's no new tech into that team. But I'm of the opinion that there should be new intakes into that team, because we should be thinking of if John steps out, Mikel Obi steps out, who takes over from Mikel Obi? Stellan Bachu steps out, who takes over from Stellan Bachu? At that level, should be at that right thinking. But at this level, it's the same group of the same set of people. No new reason. So, well, maybe the coaches so much believe in what they have at this level. If they don't believe in what is within at this level, I think the task that has been given to them by the authority that they must get to the semifinal, they would have been complaints. So they are so much believe in these players, and we just pray that by his grace, they should as well be on the right frame to deliver. If they deliver, I think Nigerians will be very, very proud of them. I would equally be very, very proud of them too, because my players are involved. So many of them, they are passed through me. So I think I'll be very, very happy too.
Looking at the Nigerians female league, do you think that there are chances that new set of players, or in quote, new legs, will be produced to take over from the likes of Asisat Oshoala, Desire Paranozie, and Tochi, your goalkeeper, presently your team goalkeeper?
Yes, the league in the country is a very strong one. Very, very strong. Even the ITO Cup is a very strong one. Before you qualify for the Super 6 or Super 4 or even the ITO Cup, it's a do-or-die affair. So there are potentials in this country. There are new legs in everywhere. We had over 20-something teams in this country. There's no way someone would tell me that we won't produce about 25-30 players that can as well fly the flag of the country anytime any day from these 25-30 teams in the country. And these 25 teams in the country, about 12 or 13 of them are very, very strong, that the players can withstand any hit at any given time. It's just the trust, it's just the belief, it's just the mind from the handlers or from the authority to say, okay, let's add the new leg. And we should start now to think of the new leg. If not, it will only be developing the players for them to run to other countries and then nationalize and come back and then even play against this same country.
That's Edwin Okon, the former coach of Nigeria's national women's football team, the Super Falcons. And Coach Okon spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Super Falcons of Nigeria will be joined at the Women's World Cup by two more African teams, the indomitable Lionesses of Cameroon and Banyana Banyana of South Africa. Cameroon is in Group E, along with Canada, New Zealand, and the Netherlands. The Cameroonian women will play Canada in their opening match June 10th. And South Africa is in Group B, along with Germany, China, and Spain. The South African women will play Spain in their opening game June 8th. In more African football news, Ghana's head coach Kwesi Appiah has named a 29-man provisional squad for next month's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. Coach Appiah included Ghana's all-time leading goal scorer, Asamoah John, who reversed the decision to retire from the national team. John's decision came after a call from Ghana's president, Nana Akufo-Addo. In John's words, and I quote, "A presidential request is one that cannot be disregarded. I have taken the request in good faith and will make myself available for selection by Coach Kwesi Appiah." Asamoah John initially announced his retirement in a dispute over the captaincy of the Black Stars of Ghana, four-time winners of the Nations Cup. Coach Appiah has not yet announced who will captain the Black Stars in Egypt. The Ghanaian team is scheduled to depart Accra on June 1st for pre-tournament preparations in Dubai. Ghana is in Group F for the Nations Cup, along with Benin, Guinea-Bissau, and defending champion Cameroon. Ghana will go against Benin June 25th in its opening Nations Cup match in Ismailia, Egypt. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more Nations Cup news, the Democratic Republic of Congo's head coach, Florent Ibenge, has named a 32-player provisional squad for Egypt 2019. Coach at Bengay included Stoke City man Gianelli Mbula, a 26-year-old midfielder who was born in Belgium and raised in France. However, Mbula is eligible to play for the Leopards of the DRC through his parents, who were born in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Mbula was based this past season in Madrid, where he was on loan to the Spanish club Rayo Vallecano. The DR Congo is in Group A for the Nations Cup, along with Uganda, Zimbabwe, and host Egypt. The DRC will play Uganda June 22nd in its opening Nations Cup match in Cairo. Let's take a break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
Filipino fighter Manny Pacquiao will challenge unbeaten WBA welterweight champion Keith Thurman on July 20th in Las Vegas, Nevada. Joining us now with that story and more boxing news is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In what looked to be a preview of their upcoming fight, the two welterweights met in New York on Tuesday, and at least one of them held nothing back. First, here's announcer Jimmy Lennon Jr. with the Pac-Man introduction.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the microphone the legend, the one and only Senator Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao.
Thank you. Good afternoon to all of us. We'd like to thank God for this opportunity. And I'm so excited for this fight because I'm fighting with the undefeated. Keith Thurman is he's kind of fighter that you cannot underestimate. He's undefeated, and this is give me more encouragement, motivation to work hard, like what I did before in my previous fights against a big name in boxing.
But Keith one-time Thurman seemed unfazed by Pacquiao's introduction and his speech. Thurman instead vowed to end his opponent's legendary career.
This most likely will be Manny Pacquiao's last fight. I love the sport of boxing, but we're in a new generation.
You know, for those who know boxing and truly understand boxing history, you know, times change. I believe boxing has come to a new era. Floyd is gone. Pacquiao is here. Come July 20th, he will disappear. Okay? He will disappear. He announced him as a senator. He belongs as a senator in the Philippines. With all respect, he is a legend. He will always be remembered in the sport. But I'm doing to Manny Pacquiao what he did to Oscar De La Hoya. You can Google it if you want to. Oscar De La Hoya never fought again. All right? Facts.
Pacquiao has won 8 division titles, but he's considered the underdog as he enters his fight against Thurman. At 30, Thurman is in the prime of his career and remains undefeated with 29 career wins, 22 via knockout. But 40-year-old Pacquiao insists his time is not over yet and says he'll prove it when the two welterweights duke it out on July 20th at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. In other boxing news, the International Olympic Committee says the sport should be included at the 2020 Tokyo Games. However, the IOC recommends the suspension of the International Boxing Association, or IBA, in organizing boxing at the Games. The IOC would instead set up a task force to oversee all boxing competitions and qualifying events in Tokyo. The announcement follows a 6-month inquiry by the IOC into the finances and governance of IBA. IOC President Thomas Bach says IBA must undergo a fundamental change before the suspension is lifted.
We wanted to ensure that on the one hand, the athletes can continue to live their Olympic dream, and that they can look forward to take part in qualifications and then at the end in the Olympic Games.
A final decision into the recommendations will be made next month. It's being reported that if IBA is stripped of their rights, it will seek legal action against the IOC in an effort to gain back control of the sport. Meanwhile, Tokyo 2020 organizers have welcomed the IOC's recommendations. John Coates is chairman of the Coordination Commission, and on Wednesday, he said the decisions by the IOC will have a positive effect on the athletes, and the IOC task force, headed by Morinari Watanabe, will ensure the sport of boxing will continue to progress at the Olympic Games.
Expectation, why we're pleased. Of course, that's the most important thing for the athletes who've been training and preparing for this. We think that obviously the decision they've taken to suspend AIBA, but to confirm boxing on the program and to establish a task force under Mr. Watanabe provides a way forward.
John Coates also addressed the issue of gender equality that is still gaining traction in the sport.
This is a progression from London, where we had 10 men's events and 3 women's events. So we've got to 8 and 5 here. I don't know whether they will be moving within the 8 and 5 to equal men and women. They may. As they move toward, that's a matter for Mr. Watanabe's commission, and as they move towards, as they determine these events, then the weight categories may, I don't know if they're being moved or whatever. That's a matter that Mr. Watanabe and his experts will advise and determine.
Earlier this month, IOC President Thomas Bach assured that task force organizers for boxing will insist on the principle of gender equality at the 2020 Olympic Games. And that's all from me, Sonny. I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of sports news is my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. And Jim says he'll be teeing off with this 29-year-old American golf star.
To be standing here today with four majors is mind-blowing. Today was definitely the most satisfying out of all of them.
Brooks Koepka came into the final round of the PGA Championship with an all-time major record 7-shot lead after 54 holes. The 29-year-old Koepka gave up all but one of those shots to American compatriot Dustin Johnson on the Bethpage Black course in New York.
I think playing with a lead is a little bit tougher. It's easier in the sense of, you know, that you can afford mistakes. You just got to stay mentally sharp. I think you have to be sharper mentally when you've got such a big lead. You still have to set goals.
Koepka found himself in an unusual position.
A shock to go four in a row. I can't tell you the last time I made four bogeys in a row.
But the always vocal and rowdy New York crowd became an inspiration for him to dig deep.
When they started chanting DJ on 14, it actually kind of helped, to be honest with you. I think it helped me kind of refocus and hit a good one down 15. That was probably the best thing that could have happened, and it was very, very stressful the last hour and a half of that round.
Not only was Koepka fending off his faltering play and a surging challenger, he had very strong winds to contend with.
I challenge anybody to go play this golf course in 15 to 20 mile an hour winds and see what they shoot. DJ played a hell of a round. That was pretty good. This golf course is, it'll test you for sure.
Johnson gave back a stroke, leaving Koepka with a 2-shot victory at the end.
I know for a fact that was the most excited I've ever been ever in my life right there on 18.
Koepka now has won an astounding 50% of the major tournaments he has played and joins a very short list of great players who each won at least 4 major titles before age 30. Ben Hogan, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and Tiger Woods. Koepka led all 4 rounds, the first player to do so at the PGA Championship in 36 years. Koepka can play 3 more majors before his 30th birthday. The next is the Open.
I'm excited to get over there. I've never actually been to Ireland. It's one place I've never been, which is shocking. I've been all over the world, but it's one place I've never been, so I'm looking forward to going. I think everybody in Ireland's been waiting for this for a long time, so it'll be very special.
Bethpage Black will be the venue for the 2024 Ryder Cup, after Whistling Straits in Wisconsin next year and Rome in 2022. No doubt the New York course will prove a hostile atmosphere for the visiting European team.
Good luck to Europe with the fans. I can't wait to play it. I hope I'm on the team. If not, I just want to be here. I'm excited already thinking about it. This is one hell of a place to play a Ryder Cup.
Formula One racing great Niki Lauda, who won 2 of his world titles after a horrific crash that left him with serious burns, has died. He was 70.
Niki Lauda lost control of his Ferrari on a 150-mile-an-hour curve.
That crash in 1976 came the year after Lauda won his first Formula One Drivers' Championship.
The first week after the accident, I couldn't take any decisions at all because it was too bad. And after, when I was feeling good, I wanted to race again.
And race again he did.
Just 40 days after doctors had given up hope and a priest had knelt at his bedside, the Austrian ace climbed back into the cockpit of his glaring red Ferrari.
The Austrian would drive Ferrari to victory again and his second driver's championship in 1977. He added a 3rd title with McLaren in 1984. Speed remained with Niki Lauda after leaving the track, as he became a prominent figure in the aviation industry.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. And here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Austrian ace, the late, great Niki Lauda. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, the world's 3 highest-ranked men's players, Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal, and Roger Federer, all practiced on the red clay of the Roland Garros Stadium in Paris on Thursday, preparing for the upcoming French Open. Defending champion Nadal is bidding for a record-extending 12th French Open title, while Federer and world number one Djokovic have each won the tournament once. Federer in 2009 and Djokovic in 2016. Romania's Simona Halep is the defending women's champion in Paris. Should be some great clay court action coming up in the French capital. The 123rd edition of the French Open is due to begin on Sunday, May 26th. And that wraps up the May 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sid Rack Franklin. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an exclusive interview with the Prime Minister of Buganda, Charles Maiga. Buganda is the largest, most influential kingdom in Uganda. Buganda and the future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists from the University of Texas, Austin, and the University of Arizona in Tucson say they have found the remains of ancient ice sheets buried in layers 1.6 kilometers beneath the northern polar cap of Mars. Using data gathered by the Shallow Radar Instrument on NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, the researchers found that each layer of polar ice was topped with a coating of windblown sand as the planet warmed. Writing in the journal Geophysical Research Letters, the scientists say the layers of ancient ice and sand, like layers on a cake, provides a record of the red planet's past climate. The growth and melting of the Martian polar ice cap is thought to reflect changes in the planet's orbit and tilt over the years. The scientists say that if the newly found ice were melted, it would cover Mars with water at least 1.5 meters deep. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.com.
www.voanews.com. Check out our programs, such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.